Title my message, Get Up. Sounds kind of okay. Get up. What does that mean? So I was over here yesterday morning, just really seeking the Lord on what he wanted me to minister on this morning, because I never know. He didn't usually give me a whole lot of notice. And so I'm trying to seek the Lord on what he wants me to minister on. And I just began to hear these words, get up. It's time for us to get up out of what's holding us down. It's time for us to get up out of the pit, get up out of our bondage, get up out of our layer that we made for ourselves, and rise again and become what God has called us to be. The devil wants to keep you down, because when you are down, you are worthless to the Lord, really, because you're doing nothing for him. You're not serving them, really. You're not a witness for them. When the devil keeps you down and out, then you're not a light or a hope for anybody else. But when we rise up and others see that we can rise from the ashes that the devil has put us in, then we can have victory again. The world needs a light and a hope like never before. The world needs to know there are some people that have risen from the gates of hell and are standing on solid ground and have been set free by the hand of God. God still delivers, and God still sets free, and God can set you free today, no matter what you're in. Every one of us have a different story to tell, a different season. Every one of us are battling different demons. I don't care where you're at in life. Each of us has something that the devil tried to pull us under with. And we know what the Bible says, that the devil is the liar, a liar, and a father of liars. We can believe nothing he tells us. We can believe none of the whispers. We can believe none of the talk he tells us. It's all a lie. What we need to hear is what God has to say. What is God's truth? Because God's truth will destroy the enemy's lies if we'll listen to it. God's authority is greater than the enemy's authority in our lives. And we need a little help now and then from the Holy Ghost to survive and to keep moving forward. Because we never know what life's going to throw at us. The old saying, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade, right? We can really see the silver lining in any cloud if we look into God. If we see Jesus as who he is. We talked Wednesday night about resurrection, about the trumpet sound. We talked about how we are in the presence of God immediately. See, my Uncle Ray passed away off this earth Friday night, but church, he is in no holding cell. He is in no limbo waiting to see if he got in or not. He's not waiting on another trumpet to sound to resurrect him. Hear me. My uncle is in the presence of God in a brand new state, glorified by him. So we have to understand that we are never apart from God, and we're never alone. So guess what? If I'm never apart from God and I'm never alone and he's with me, whom shall I fear and what shall I fear? Nothing. Nothing. It's time for us to get up out of what's holding us down and fulfilling the purpose that God has called us to fulfill. Whatever that is, each of us has a purpose. David was a man that had many reasons to be discouraged. David was always having enemies attack him. David was always under complete attack all the time. But yet he cried out to God. And we want to read here in Psalms 24. Go ahead and turn to that, Brendan. What the Bible tells us here. The first thing we have to establish is verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. It's the Lord's. It's not the devil's. It's not the enemy's. It's not the bad people. It's not the demonic world. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness, which means everything that's in the earth, belongs to God. Every possession, every person, every mineral, every sea, every mountain, every star, every blade of grass, every tree limb, every rose, every bumblebee, everything created belongs to God. Just to get that revelation there ought to be a light bulb that says, wow, this is who I serve. Everything. I had a talk this morning with a chipmunk at my house, and he listened. I'm on the front porch, and this little chipmunk comes out the gutter, And I say, hey, little chipmunk. And he kind of jumped and he turned around. And he's looking at me. And I say, hey, little chipmunk, how are you doing? And he goes out in the yard, and that's probably where all my grass seed went. He went out in the yard, and he's sniffing around and stuff. Then I see a little bumblebee come and land on the flower in a flower bed. Then I see a squirrel over there at the other tree. And I'm like, man, a chipmunk. I got a joke for you. A chipmunk, a bumblebee, and a squirrel went to a bar. Now I'm playing. But I'm saying, here's three different creations. And they all look so different. And God made them. Everything belongs to God. Everything created. The world and those, which is us. It's we-ins. All of us that dwell therein. Next verse, Brandon. Skip down to verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads. And be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. You know when we're looking for somebody, how we're at attention? You know, you're at Wawa waiting on your wife. I'll meet you up front. You're looking, you're at attention. Looking. Oh, it ain't her. Looking, 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 looking. Keep on looking, I promise. The Queen of glory will eventually roll up there. We are supposed to be at attention. Waiting on God, looking for God. And when we look for God, guess what? We find Him. Jesus says, seek and you'll find. Ask, you'll receive. Knock, and that door will be open for you. Now, the King of glory is a very funny expression. Let me explain what David's talking about. The King of glory represents when the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, would come into the sanctuary in a triumphant procession. As they would process, they would carry that Ark of the Covenant and they would come in to the sanctuary as an act of worship. This is what the King of Glory is referring to. Now, we know the Ark of the Covenant was God's presence in the old, but now the presence of God dwells in us. So we lift up our heads. We lift up our heads and recognize the King of Glory lives inside of me, inside of you. The King of Glory dwells there. How can we stay down when the King of glory lives inside of us? How can we stay discouraged when we look at what Calvary did to set us free? How can we be depressed whenever we know what our future is and the certainty of that future? Next verse, Brandon. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Let God pull you up and pull you out of what you're in. We don't belong in the spirit of depression or discouragement or fear or anxiety or stress or worry. The Bible says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything, but in all things, make your request, supplications known before the Lord. Easier said than done, right? You don't understand what I'm going through. Yeah, I do, because I'm going through it with you, church. Going through it with you. There's times in my life I would have never traded anything in my life for anybody else's. But as time goes on, you start thinking, maybe that wouldn't be a bad trade. Seasons change. Things happen. And we're all on the same boat of life going the same direction, really. Trying to move forward day by day by day. The reason people are so highly medicated today is because of this storm that's within them. And for some reason, that seems to calm the storm, but it doesn't cause the storm to go away. People are seeking and searching to get out of the pit any way they can, to get up and get back in life. There are days you may not feel like getting out of bed because you're just so discouraged. There's days you may question, what is the purpose and point of life? Because I tell you, it has a lot of heartache. It can bring a lot of pain. And we look forward to that glorious day when we lay down our trophies here and we embrace what God has for us. But we can have joy. Even in the time of pain, we can have joy. But you know what? We have to choose to get up. We have to choose to rise. Next scripture. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I'm not going to chapter 40, Brandon. This is Psalms 41. I waited patiently for the Lord. And look what he says. What happened as he waited? He inclined to me and he heard my cry. I waited on you, God. And guess what? You heard me. And you answered me. God doesn't want us to stay where we are at. I think your sign's still out there. It says, I didn't bring you this far to leave you this far. For me to leave you this. Yeah, I didn't bring you this far for only you to come this far. Now, how'd you say it? You didn't come this far only to come this far. I'm not saying fire. I'm saying far, F-A-R. Make sure y'all understand that. Make sure my Yankee friends back understand that. You didn't, he's going to be like, yeah, did he say fire? You didn't come this far to come this far. What a revelation that is, right? I mean, it sounds so simplistic. But think about that. God didn't bring you this far just to bring you this far. But he brought you this far to take you farther. Farther than where you are. Farther than where you've been. And farther than your own dreams will take you. God wants to take you into a deeper and a higher and a better place than where you are now. But we've got to get up and refuse to lay there in our pajamas all day and not do nothing with life. We got to refuse to be paralyzed by what's happened in the past. That's over, buddy. That was yesterday. Today is a brand new day and a brand new beginning. Let the dead bury their dead and follow Jesus. We stay crippled by our emotional state or by what life's thrown at us instead of getting in the batting cage and saying, you know what? I'm going to keep on swinging because one of these days I'm going to connect and it's going out of the park. Keep on keeping on. Your sign so blessed me when I saw that. You know, I can't remember it. I knew when I was reading, I knew what it meant at the time. I was like, wow, he didn't bring me this far to bring me this far or whatever. Anyway, yeah, y'all get it. And I'm like, man, that's such a revelation. God does not save us to doom us. God doesn't heal us for us to remain sick. God doesn't give us laughter for us to cry. When God gives us something, we have that gift all of our days. He gave us his mercy, his love, his power, his anointing, his authority, and that remains inside of us, whether we feel it or whether we don't. Just because you don't feel God don't mean God's not there. Because you don't feel holy today don't mean we don't pray. Because we don't feel the moving of the Holy Ghost doesn't mean the Holy Ghost isn't moving. It is. Man, God is fighting for us when we don't even see it. And when God sees us, just like, think about this. We want to see our children happy. As a parent, your number one priority for your children is they're safe and they're happy. If they're safe and they're happy, you're pretty much at peace. You know, you're pretty much at peace. They're safe and they're happy. God wants us safe, which we are in him, but he wants us happy. He wants us joyful. He wants us celebrating the deliverance he gave us. We were set free, church. When Jesus called your name, he set you free. He unlocked the door and set you free. We are not to be imprisoned again. We have been declared forevermore free of all charges that were against us through the blood of Jesus. Next scripture, verse 2. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. You know, when you think of a psychiatrist or a psychologist, I'm not sure the difference in them. I asked somebody one day, there's a difference, but I think one pays more money. But think about when you go to their office. I think a psychiatrist makes more money. When you go in the office, you lay on that couch, right? Tell me about all your past. Tell me how you was a child. Was your mama beating to you? Did you get beat? Did you get abused? You know, you picture in a psychiatrist's office fessing all your problems and all your pain. What's happened to us is many of us have carried our failures, or we've carried our disappointments, we've carried our sins, we've carried what life has thrown at us, and we've carried that into our tomorrow and the next day and the next day until we've allowed it to define us. We don't let the devil define us when God has refined us. We don't let our problems define who we are. We say, I'm not going to let what happened then always be who I am now. I'm not going to let the storm that came to my life then keep me bound in the future. I'm tired of being in a pit. I'm tired of being in this horrible place. I know many of you aren't Batman fans, but I forget which Batman movie it was, but it's the one where Batman was a little boy and he was in that big old pit, and they had to try to climb out of this pit, and if they actually climbed out and made out the top, they were free. Does that ring a bell to anybody in here? Am I the only nerd in here? Thank you, Tim. We've got two nerds. Thank you. You know what I'm talking about. That was Batman, right? Batman movie. And he's in this pit with all these guys, and as he's climbing, they're all chanting, whoa, 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 you know, some kind of chant to help get him. And he would climb this rock big thing, and he kept falling. He'd get halfway up, he would fall, hurt himself, cut himself. He'd get back up, try another day. He'd fall. He'd climb it another day. He'd fall, and they kept cheering him on, but he did not give up. He refused to stay in that pit. He kept climbing until he got out. Church, we need to keep climbing and keep digging until we get out. Nobody's going to do it for you. You've got to wash your face and put on a new garment and rise from your ashes and declare the goodness of the Lord in your own life. And rise up and get up and wake up from your slumber and quit sleeping away. And embrace life by the horns and say, you are messing with the child of God. You're messing with the blood bought. And we love that talk, all that good old Bible religious old timey talk. That's okay right there. You're dealing with a blood bought, robe washing, righteous standing child of the living God, filled with the Holy Ghost from on high. I mean, whatever you want to say, but remind yourself of who you are in Him. And I am so glad that Batman got out. It'd have been a pretty boring movie if I'd been only seen. And there would have been a Catwoman. And Catwoman's, you know, pretty good looking. So I'm glad he got out of the pit. He brought me out of a horrible pit. He brought me out of the miry clay. Now, Karina, you'll appreciate this. Don't you hate walking barefoot on thick, dry sand? You know, up top of the beach where it's all thick and clumpy, or all thick, and you can't get your bearing, and you're like a drunk man walking, right? You know why? The sand's shifting, and you want to get down into where it's smooth and flat to where you can walk solid. And you're walking through all that sand, you're going in and making indentions, you're going like this, and you want to get down to where it's solid so you have a stable walking ground. God will establish your foundation. He will set your feet on a rock and He will establish your steps. He'll establish your steps. He wants to pull you out of whatever's bogging you down. There are some folks, always got different battles. And I was talking to someone this week about a situation. Worry about their kids. We worry about our kids. But you know what? When they're grown, there is absolutely zero you can do but pray for them. Nothing else you can do but pray for them. And many parents live their whole lives consumed with their children and are robbed of many years of joy for their own lives. Me and Melly, we're on the same page, thank God. And you may think we're bad parents or we're bad people. That's just your opinion if you want to feel that way. But you know what? We've made a pact, and we always have, to raise our kids the best we can. And when they're of age, write me. Text me. Don't forget to call every now and then. We're cool. Because you know what? Your kids aren't meant to be on your hip all your lives. My God, they were meant to go out and live their lives, good or bad, right or wrong, in sin or in God. But the point is, you can't control them. And me and Melly are still young enough that we got a little fire in our bones. And I may want to take her out dancing one night. And if I got Junior here beside me, worried about him, I can't dance. I'm too pulled down with sorrow. So God, pull us out of the pit we're in and let us see the joy of living that we can enjoy our years that we have on the earth to the best of our abilities. Now, church, I'm not talking about when you're, you know, we're there for our kids. Of course we are. But I'm talking about, man, I talk to parents that are just so consumed by their 30, 40-some-year-old. That's all they can. I'm like, look, don't you have anything in your life going on? Because I'm telling you, me and Melanie's got plans. I'm like Jimmy Stewart, okay? I want to lasso the moon and bring it down. Explore the world and get away from this crummy bank. Just play. There's things in life that we can enjoy, but if we're in this pit and that's the only scenery we see is a pit all the way around us, all we see is walls of defiance and walls that tell us we can't go any farther. Yes, we can. My God, we can. Jesus has set us free. The chains have fallen. We don't have to live like a slave whenever God's made us a son. The Bible says we are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. Stop staying in the place you're in and thinking this is the best life gets. No, it's not. Man, with God, He can give us a brand new journey. Look at this next verse. I love this verse. He has put a new song in my mouth. Ain't that what we need, a new song? The Bible in Proverbs says that the power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. As we always speak negativity, as we always talk trash, as we always are so gloom and doom, guess what? That's your mood. I'm a first-hand experience of this. I've been on both sides of the spectrum. I've been the perkiest, most positive, motivational speaker, you know, the old Hans and Franz on Saturday Night Live, if you're my age or older, the old Hans and Franz. Remember that? We are here to pump you up. I've been that guy. Pump you up. I am happy. Don't worry. They stole my bed, and I have no place to lay my head. I'm going to be happy. I've been there, and I've also been here, where I've been so discouraged. I've been so depressed that if God just said, James, come on home, I'm not arguing. I've been there too. And you know what? It's much more fun to be Hans and Franz than it is to be that depressed person. Because you know what? I truly believe that we have a choice on what we do with what life gives us. And Christ has given us eternal life. So I'm going to enjoy the journey I have here on earth to the best of my ability. I'm going to enjoy creation. I'm going to enjoy what He's given us. I'm going to enjoy my family. I'm going to enjoy the things that life presents. But we have to get a new song in our mouth. And God gives us that. It says, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. A new song. I'm tired of singing the same old song every day of my life. Tired of, you ever feel like you're just going through the motions in life? You're just going through the motions. You get up, dress, go to work. You're married, you got kids, you're raising your family, but you're just going through the motions. There's no joy in what you're doing anymore. There should be joy in everything we do. It is a gift from God that we are alive and still on the earth. And here's the more important thing. There's a reason we're still on the earth.
We were created for a purpose. We were created to serve not ourselves, but to serve others, whether it's our families or our church family or our friends or whoever God put in our lives. We are to serve others. We have a purpose. That little baby has a purpose, and you have a purpose. A purpose to watch that child, raise that child, teach that child. And what a blessing you brought that child to church today. For a young person to bring a child to church is a beautiful thing. Hearing the Word of God, hearing and being in that atmosphere where the Spirit can move. I've seen children as young as 3 and 4 years old cry during singing. You know why they're crying? Because they're feeling something moving. They're feeling the Holy Spirit moving upon them. We have a purpose, church. It's time to get up. Tired of being where I'm at. Tired of staying where I'm at. Tired of fighting the same battle and never having a resolve. I've learned to recognize there are battles I'm not going to win. And there's battles that I don't need to fight. So I truly give it to God and I trust in Him and say, Lord, take this battle and take this storm and take this problem because I'm ready to get up. I don't like how I feel. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like where I've been. I don't like where I'm going. The news paints so much negativity. So much negativity. Everything is bad. Everything is evil. And it indoctrinates us to see the world that way. You know, Mom shared a lot of things about America, how it was 50, 60, 75 years ago. A lot different. At the same token, the media was a lot different too. And the news was a lot different. For one thing, the news reported only what actually happened. And didn't fabricate stuff for a political agenda. There was no spin on the news 50 years ago. It is what it is. If someone in Congress did something wrong, they got caught. Whether they were Democrat, Republican, Independent, they were wrong. Now everything's spun. Everything is spun like cotton candy on a stick. And we see this image of our world. And we think of the world now, here's what most of us think about. We think about corruption of government. We think about terrorism. We think about a millennial generation and generation behind that coming up, that what in the world is going to be their hope. But our hope and all of that is still anchored in Christ. And terrorism will not touch those who are in the Lord. For even if we were off the earth, we're with the Lord. They don't win. They can't win. We've already won because Christ won. Don't live life in fear. Don't live life in depression. Don't live life in discouragement. It's time to get up and rise from where you've been and realize that's in the past. You are forgiven, and God wants to restore what the devil has stolen away. Remember a time you were so full of joy. You were a time in your life when you just enjoyed living. And now living has become a chore. It's become work. Living once again can become joyful if we'll get up out of the pit and say, God, restore me. I know our seasons change. I think about my Uncle Ray's wife. They were married for, how long were they married? 60 years? 56 years. Married 56 years. And she'll be totally lost without him. You know where her joy will come from? Knowing he's restored. Knowing he's healed. Knowing he's made whole. And she'll take great joy, though she'll miss him in the body. She'll take great joy in knowing he can talk, he can sing, he can dance, he can walk, he can move. Because he's got his redemption. Church, we can find joy if we'll look for it. But we look for the negativity, that's what we'll attract. Do y'all work with any negative people? It's always negative. Isn't that a pain? It tries to get on you, don't it? That negativity. They're always complaining about something. Boss man is. Boss man now. Here's some news flash. Become the boss. Then you got to worry about it. We complain about this, complain about that, complain about this. We've been in a drought, right? We complain. Now, I wish it wouldn't rain today. It's July the 4th, whatever. We got to complain about everything. Corinne's a beautiful beach. Beautiful sand. I don't want to be it to be. I hate to be. Really? Call us. We'll tag out. Hit the road, Jack. I'll come down. I want to be in the mountains. People in the mountains. It's cold in the mountains. We're at the beach. I mean, we're always complaining. Negative. Let's try changing the song of our mouth and edifying and building up. Instead of spewing poison around others, let's spew life into others. We are supposed to be witnesses of Him. We're the light of the world. We're a city set on a hill. We are to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all around us. I'm not talking about preaching to them every day. Just being the light is enough. Just being a light, they will see Christ in you. And that's what it says, that they will see it and they will fear. Fear don't mean they'll be afraid of God. It means that they know you've got something real, and they'll honor that and they'll want that. What have you got that makes you sing the song you sing? Because everybody else is so negative, and yet you are so positive. I know we're not in a la-la world. Church, we don't go around like zombies, okay? We don't go around like burned out idiots going, oh, life is good. Hey, dude, life's wonderful. No problem, no issues. I'm so happy, happy, happy. I'm not saying that. But we have to recognize that God doesn't want us in the pit that we are in today. And just like the little Batman boy that finally climbed his way out, God is saying, rise and come out. There's a whole world out there that we're not experiencing because we are trapped by what the devil has told us we are. And that's a lie. You don't stay trapped by what the devil tells you you are. You are set free by who God says you are. We are redeemed. We're not who we used to be, but we are redeemed. The word redeemed means we have been purchased. We have been bought with a price. Jesus redeemed me. Jesus redeemed you. You don't belong to the enemy no more. Why do we let his voice reign and rule? And why do we follow his ways and listen to him? Rise up and say, I am of the Lord, and I will be what he has purposed me to be and nothing else. I'm tired of living the way I'm living. I'm ready for peace. I'm ready for joy. I'm ready for strength. I'm ready for hope. I've lost that vision of what I used to look at. I've lost that. My candle has burned out. My flame no longer shines, and I'm in darkness. And I'm ready to be rescued. Stand your feet with me if you would. Let's pray. Church, if you're in a situation this morning where you are in a pit, you are trapped, you are discouraged, you need a breakthrough in your spirit and your emotions, you let the devil talk so much junk that it's defined who you are, I want you to reflect on the day that Jesus called your name. He didn't set you free temporarily, he set you free forever. He didn't set you free based on how life treated you, he set you free based on regardless of how life treats you. I want you to receive this prayer today if you need a deliverance. Father, we stand before a holy God who doesn't want us trapped by the enemy's lies or the enemy's ways. We are the people of God. We are Christians. We are followers of you, Lord. And I declare and speak upon all in this sanctuary that, Lord, you will breathe upon our lives, that you will move those giants out of our ways, and that you will pull us out of the pit that we are in right now. That you restore our peace, our joy, our anointing, our power, our authority. Restore it, that we walk out of here stronger than we were when we walked in. That we come out, that our feet dance again, our hands are lifted to you again, that our mouths sing forth a new song, that you are good and your mercy endures forever. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your anointing and lift us out, that the King of glory shall come in and rescue us. We ask this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Set us free, Jesus. Set us free, that we don't stay where we are at. Let hope be rekindled today. Let healing be birthed. Let life come forth. Let chains be broken. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated for a minute.